Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, October 18th, 2016. This is the regular monthly meeting of the Citizens Finance Advisory Committee. Let the record reflect, we have a quorum present. Four of our five members are present. Betty Forsyth is not here. Thank you. First off, are there any committee members or that want to make any announcements? Or any member of the public? The only announcement I guess I would make for the public is that we are still actively recruiting for this committee, correct, Susan? And I believe we that will be open through, what, sometime in November?
I don't know the exact date when we close off the committee choices.
Okay. Sorry. So I'd encourage folks to check the website or email any one of us. All of our email addresses are on the website, and we will, that's where our charter is, and we will help you through the process. Thank you. Okay, that brings us to item A1, the consent calendar. There are no items to present on the consent calendar, so we will move on to item B1, presentation of the first quarter 2016 financial reports. Open it up for public comment. Seeing none, closed. And let's begin our discussion on the first quarter 2016 financial reports. Thank you, Susan, for providing all that. I'll open it up for any committee members that would like to discuss or start the discussion.
Were you planning on giving us any kind of a formal presentation, Susan? Just out of...
No, I was not.
Okay. All right.
Go ahead, Bart.
I'm new to this, obviously, and normally what I'm familiar with is that you would start with high-level information, summary information, and then to some extent, then you would have detailed information underneath that, potentially these items. And if somebody is sort of number hungry, they could go into actual look at invoices or something like that. It was not easy for me to follow the flow. I mean, we had a budget of certain line items, and then we had all this information. Did I miss something as how all this was tied together as far as how it's under, like the first three, oh, was 1-1 through whatever, bought a lot of sales tax. So I guess I could say, guess that some number of those, and even those are the first ones, but they're not general as the first line item. Then you get into some district transaction taxes, but is there something that ties this together that I'm not saying?
So your first report is a high-level summary of the general fund, because that's how the committee has requested that it be presented, rather than detail, which some of the committee members remember my very first presentation that was 794 pages, I believe, of detailed transactions for the entire city for one particular quarter. Committee recommended at that time that we view a more high-level summary for the general fund, and then I usually present budget to actuals for the enterprise funds. I don't generally present the special revenue funds, maybe the district transaction tax, because that's an important one. The rest of them are pretty much money comes in, it goes in to support something with the general fund, or COPS, which we haven't even received any allocation this quarter because they're on a federal fiscal year, which is October 1 to September 30.
Okay, I guess I have to use this forum to sort of understand these things. Okay, there's some line items on the general fund revenue. And I'm looking at the summary of general fund now that I see that. Okay, it's all the first line. For example, all funds, revenues by category, taxes and assessments is 9428. as part of the budget. So how would I find the 9428 and the summary of this as an example?
I'm not sure what page you're looking at.
He's comparing to the general, a budgeted, that summary document, the one we use to create these charts and everything.
Oh, okay. That is
it's a
budget.
Different breakdown.
This is your actual. So you could look at the general fund line in your budget document that you just had in your hand, and you could look at the totals for revenue and the totals for expenditures, and those should match that document. But those are budget numbers, and these are actuals for the first quarter. So they're the actual year-to-date numbers are not going to match anything.
I understand that recorded costs are going to be something else, but a line that says budget should be budget. And now it's year-to-date, so we don't have that. Okay, so these are not total, but there's no line, there's no column, it's total budget, I guess. Is that?
Well, your revenue budget is showing on the second. Okay, so revenues are on page 3 of 6. And so your revenue total, your revenue budget is $13,098,233. That should be all general fund revenues to include transfers in. And then on page 6 would be, sorry, yeah, it is 6. On page 6 is going to show your total expenditures. And also on page 6, it gives you the two totals together. So
Susan, let me try to help out here a little bit, okay? Let's just deal with the general fund right now. And Bart, this is, you know, the detail that was attached to the agenda is the general accumulated transaction right out of the general ledger. And I believe when we've done some of the budgeting, we've categorized it in a different manner, and that's why it's hard on some of these things to match it up. But let's go to a very high level. The total revenue is $13,098,233, okay? And if we go with the budget number that we have been using from the published budget, that was, and we've used it in our charts,
12,760,748.
Yeah. So right away, that was the first question I had, without even looking at the detail, why do the totals, because we're getting ready to publish the citizens' budgets, why do they not match? And I believe, once again, we're at this interfund transfer. The delta is $338,035. We discussed that figure about 6 months ago, unless it's purely coincidence, that was a transfer for personnel termination charges or leaving, that there was money going into some kind of an account and it was that exact amount. In other words, when people leave, they get their sick leave and the vacation, and that was not funded, so we were gonna start funding that. That's the figure we discussed several months ago. So when I tried to balance these off, I couldn't do what Bart's doing either because of the categorization.
Well, you should be able to add the general fund revenue that's showing on the summary of all budgeted funds and the interfund transfers in, which is also showing up there. Those two numbers should add up to $13,098,233. Those two together should add up. There's no total column on the summary of all budgeted funds for those. So those two added together should be the $13,098,233. The expenditures are transfers out and the expenditures on the summary of all budgeted funds. And that should be $13,086,982.
Then I guess we're missing something because the general fund and the city adopted budget, bottom right figure there, 12,760,198, says total general fund revenues and transfers in. So unless that was adjusted after this was published, we're already off, just with the general fund alone. So when I tried to, I started trying to do, probably it looks like a couple of my colleagues did the same thing.
Did the same thing. Yep.
So let's look at this and what's here and what's not here, and then I can figure it out. And I got two-thirds down the page and couldn't balance it. And then I remembered, oh, 338, 035, they talked about, so somehow that's buried in here, unless that's just a coincidence.
That would be the, that's the vacancy rate. And the vacancy rate would not be included in this. We don't put in a line for the vacancy rate.
Okay, my recollection of the discussion, it was in if employees terminate and you have to pay them. Is that what you mean
that
by vacancy?
That was the $66,000 for the compensable leaves.
Okay.
So those two numbers together would be the difference in expenditures, because we would not have the vacancy rate in there, and we would also not have, I think it's 66 something that was in the general fund for the compensable leaves. And that would be on the page that was the budgeted general fund expenditures. And it's at the bottom of the page that shows those two numbers.
I guess my thought would be rather, this is probably a computer program that's been in place for 20 or 30 years, and you know it very well. You probably know where every number is personally, but I would argue that maybe with new sets of eyes now to see how easy it is to understand. So again, if I've done something for a long time, even if it's all over the place, I kind of know, okay, now you add that number, that number, this number. But for somebody to try to make sense out of it, I've got to start with numbers that I see the same number. Okay, I trust they're the same number. And now I go look at the detail. It's very expensive to change computer programs. And I don't know to what extent this is a program or it's a pieced together set of programs, that you have a program that feeds an Excel spreadsheet and then you add something there and you modify that. I don't know exactly how you're working as best you can with what's there. I believe that. And I know it could be very expensive to change that. But this is confusing. Right? So
the real question becomes, okay, if the revenue is $13,098,000, where in the city's published budget can I find that number? And if that's there, then that's not in the last pool we have. And maybe it was updated, hopefully. And that's what we want, the same number. We don't want a different number that we have to add and subtract to get to. It seems to me the budget is the budget.
So I don't have one of the budget documents with me to take a look at the numbers that were in the adopted budget. I would have brought them with me, but I didn't realize we were having a problem with this. This is straight off of our financial system, just for the general fund. And at the time that everything was put in place, the only thing that I believe that was left out was the vacancy rate, that's a deduction, and the compensable leaves. So I think that's the only thing that was left out.
And that adds up to the 338 that we're talking about, that these two numbers are off. Yeah, okay. So presumably that those two are now back in the budget.
We don't have a line item for the vacancy rate. Okay. We don't put it in there because it's not necessarily broken down by department, and we do everything by department.
Okay.
We would have to put it in as a component of maybe a transfer out or something along that line or in that case. We've only been using this for the last, I think, couple of years. When we had the financial forecast, we did include a vacancy rate, but we never included it in the software. We've just not set up a line item for it.
So it'll never balance. It'll never.
Will never balance with those.
Understood.
I was going to say that I remember from the last time that we looked at the first quarter financial reports, we did have a by department. And that was very helpful. And I know that we also were able to attend the city manager's meetings with department heads. And I know that I don't know if the meeting was canceled or we just weren't invited to it, but that was also very helpful because it helped us to understand the exceptions and why the percentages were off. And without that, just looking at this, you really can't understand. You have more questions than you have answers. So I would be curious to know if we are going to be allowed to do that in the future. And I know that it's been a difficult time because it's transitions, and I realize that. So maybe this is just a one-time experience, but if you could address that issue.
Oh, yeah. The meeting was set and scheduled. We canceled it because of the transition. One of the main reasons was because we did not get any of the July, August, and September routine journal entries in place. We didn't get any of our journal entries in. So the city manager chose to cancel that meeting and that presentation because he felt that the first quarter information was not comparable to what had been delivered in the past. Normally we have the journal entries in for the first 3 months, and you're at least being able to compare apples and apples. This way you weren't, and he didn't want to. He didn't feel that it was a good use of our time to do that.
So this report that we're looking at here, does this have all of the journal entries in?
No, it does not.
So this really isn't going to be terribly helpful either then?
In that regard, yes. But because the procedures for the committee are to present each quarter, I brought the quarter forward, and I did state in my staff report that the journal entries were not in there.
Not all of, some of them are, but not all.
Not journal entries. Regular accounts payable, regular payroll, regular revenues, they're all in there.
Okay.
But the reversals for the prior year revenues that are included in July are not there. So your TOT number will look very, very good. And it should be light one full month, the month of July.
Okay.
Or July's revenue, June's revenue that's collected in July.
So if this is going to be helpful to us, do we need to just ask questions about all of it in terms of, because I know that a lot of it has to do with timing. And understanding the financial report requires you to know when certain things come in, when contracts are let, when we actually get property tax revenue, et cetera, and that can affect all of the percent to budget. So is it worth it for us? Is it worthwhile for us to ask questions about some of these individual items at this point?
You can ask questions, but I just want you to understand that you're going to have TOT revenue in here that doesn't belong. You'll have sales tax revenue that doesn't belong. Probably not property tax revenue. I'm assuming that most of that is already collected prior to June 30. Expenditures should be right on the money because we are able to accrue back our expenditures by paying the bill in July, but using a posting date of June. We don't have that ability with our revenues.
So it's the revenues that are more off.
Significantly.
Well, it's interesting, given that we haven't got all of the journal entries and the revenues are off, that you're at 22% on both revenue and expenditures in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's a coincidence or what, but we shouldn't take that to the bank, I take it.
I wouldn't.
Thanks.
And I think this goes back to, we talked about this, I think, almost a year ago, about the encumbrance accounting and accounting for encumbrances so that we would have a better idea. And then if there were red, right now we could be raising red flags that are meaningless, and we could be looking at data that looks out of whack, which technically is right on schedule. So I think the summary of this discussion is we understand the limitations of the accounting system, and we'll do our best we can, but it's going to be very difficult.
And
I don't know what we can look at and say we can bless this because we're looking at half a picture.
Once the purchase orders are in place, then you may see encumbrances. one of the advantages of what we currently do is we book all of our revenues immediately. We don't distribute them. So it compensates for, it shows you that our contracts are, that are paid for, while our contract line, and I'm not looking at it, so I'm just, you know, saying if our contract line wound up being at 60% spent, if we were distributing our budget, it would be over budget by, you know, a much higher amount. This way you're showing a greater percentage spent, but that's normally because our contracts are let in the first couple of months of the fiscal year.
Another general comment I'd make, this is a data dump to me to a large extent. I would assume that Mr. Buckingham or the city council would like to have some professional assessment of what are the important issues here. What are the key items that we're over or under that we should focus on? I can't imagine that Mr. Buckingham would prefer to just get all this data and not to say, please help me know where I should focus in on. Because again, that's a fairly typical thing that I've seen in budget presentations or project management forecasts, where you don't just give a data dump and then say, okay, all of you individually try and go figure out where we may have an issue. You have done this. And maybe this is what is standard, that you just give this to Mr. Buckingham and say, go for it, Dave. So you can figure out what's where there's an issue, and we'll go from there. And you same with the city council, that you say, here you go. See if you can find it. It seems like a summary. In other words, I believe that you probably did prepare a summary set of information that indicated the things that you want to focus on, and you've got everything there in case somebody thinks you didn't bring something out, so that's fine. But you're helping us devote our time to what's important.
Okay. So this is not the format that the information is presented to the city manager. Normally when we present information to the city manager, we have all of our journal entries in for the quarter end. This particular quarter, we don't. We don't present it in this format. We present it budget to actual by a department. So it's presented differently than what we provide to the committee. The bottom line numbers are the same, but we always present something different to the city manager. We don't give him this. He would not see it in this format. He would see it broken down by department, revenues and expenditures per department.
And we saw that last year also.
Yes.
We saw it by department, and that's very helpful because that gives you a better sense of where you're at and which departments are over or underspending, et cetera. So I'm hoping that in the future we would get that report by department.
And the committee said that they wanted to see this, the general fund, on a high level. They like this consolidated presentation. So if you truly wanted in budget and actual, I can give you that.
By
but
department.
I did not do it that way because right. You wanted it consolidated. That was what I had
You're
asked.
You're right.
At the
we
last
had
meeting.
Some discussion last month, and it was about, we said err on the side of summary level, and maybe this is the iterative process. We understood there were new finance members joining the team. So maybe this is just the iterative process we have to go through with. And now we see that because there's no categorization by department, we can see, well, you spent, you know, labor. And in fact, some of the other funds were exactly as we had reported them. So they're the totals at least. But I think we're going to probably have to drill it down a little more.
We can do that. We can present budget to actual to you. It's a longer report, but it'll be line items similarly to what I've given you for water revenue and sewer and harbor. So the general fund was the one that the committee had pretty much decided they liked the line item summary version, and that's what I gave you.
That's good. One clarification. Year-to-date transactions are not actuals? What are they? You said this is not an actuals report, yet there's a column that says...
No, I said
oh, okay.
It was actual.
I would look at this as budget, adopted budget to actuals. It's just the sorting.
It's the sorting.
Okay. Dave, any comments?
Well, I agree with Bart's assessment. This is a data dump. I guess the question I have is what's the City Council's expectations for what are we supposed to do with this as individual members? Are we supposed to go through it and try to verify whether things balance on an individual basis? It would be very helpful if we had a staff report that provided an analysis of this report to know if we're off anywhere, or maybe provide some explanation to some of the numbers that appear to be off. I realize that there was a mention of the journal entries not being made, but that doesn't really tell me a whole lot. It would help me as a committee member if there was a staff report that actually explained this report, these series of reports.
And Susan, I've seen you do that before on some other ones. I think you would have a page or two summary. I've seen it in other city staff reports saying, hey, this is only 8%. However, this is the reason. Yeah. Okay.
And I normally would prepare that. This was going to be something that I was going to almost have to do, go line by line by line and say, this is wrong because the journal entries didn't get it. And that's really what's left out. You're talking about 1 month of TOT that's in there that shouldn't be, because June's TOT comes in July. We accrue it back, but we don't take it out because we do not have the ability to post revenue in arrears. We do have the ability to push expenditures based on the date that we expect to pay them. So we can divide our expenditures up and say, this is for fiscal year 15-16, this is for 16-17. We don't have the ability to do that with our revenues. We have to post it exactly how we get it. So that's really what you would have seen, and that's why I brought it to you. It's not a pretty picture. That's why the city manager didn't want to look at it. It's a poor comparison, but because the work plan says you're going to see the first quarter, I brought it.
Can I ask what the plan is moving forward? So when will you have all of the journal entries made? And I assume that Mr. Buckingham will have that meeting once all the data is in, and he will try to do a review with all the department heads of where they're at, and that the City Council will get some kind of a report. Is there a timeline for that?
So right now the journal entries are being, the two new individuals we have, Sandy Martin and Valerie Webb, are being trained on journal entry input, and actually how to take a request for a journal entry, prepare the journal entry, and then put it in the system. They're working on that this week. The presenting the first quarter to the city manager, we will not be doing that. He's going to wait until mid-year before we're going to be doing anything. So all of the data, everything will be cleaned up by the time we get to the mid-year budget review, and that'll be in January.
And will this committee have an opportunity to see that report in advance?
Our plan was that the committee would have a subcommittee that came to the city manager's meeting, like you did several other meetings, mm-hmm. come and watch the department presentations, and then the following week we would be able to prepare everything for the committee to review as a whole and then take to City Council.
Okay. Yeah, and just in general, I probably am only asking for what you give Mr. Buckingham. You know, because you're, like I said, he's not going through all this stuff. There's some other report, which I guess you're saying we didn't see because of timing. But as an example, in trying to find a number that sort of jumps out on the water revenue, we've spent 38% of the state water contract, which is pretty significant. Now, there's a bunch of other ones where things didn't just hit, So that would, to me, be an example of something you'd point out to say, when that's the big number in that category, does 38% for one quarter represent 4 times 38? Because if we're over by that much on that item, it's pretty significant. Now, I don't want to pick on one item here, but I think that's an example of something that I would have expected you to highlight to say, yes, it's 38%. However, because of the timing of getting the invoices or something, you know, there's really 4 months instead of 3 months or something like that. So it's really okay. Or should I worry because it's 4 times 38 on a fairly substantial line item? But no, that's, you know, without beating on that item, that's not my point here, but that's the kind of thing that I would have expected would have been highlighted, and I suspect you are highlighting that to the city manager.
Actually, I've not presented any data to the city manager. He chose not to have me prepare a lot of documents for him that were basically not complete. For the one that you're talking about, for the state water contract, that I mentioned in contracts, that many of our contracts are paid up front. The state water contract, we have two payments that we make to them. One we make in the end of June and July, and the other one we make in December. So we make two payments to them, and that's why it's spent more than what it normally would be at this time.
Does that tell me the way you input the budget is one number? You don't have a monthly budget breakdown that you could sort of
No, it's not distributed.
It's just one, which is a more complicated program and a lot more work if it were that way, but okay.
Actually, it's not. It's just clicking a button that says, do you want to distribute your budget? And you say yes or no, or, well, you say yes if you want to do it, and I don't distribute the budget. I just go ahead and print the budget and put the budget in full in as the adopted budget, and then we have the amendments and then the amended budget.
Okay, so I think to summarize, basically, we respect what's on the work plan and we want to work to that, and we've made some adjustments where we aren't prepared, for instance, on the budget documents or benchmarking. So I think I would ask in the future, if my colleagues agree, that if we're not ready to present, you know, the first quarter financial reports, then we need to amend the work plan, not just provide a data dump that we've all, although it's probably been a good learning experience, but we've all spent a lot of time and we're just not getting anywhere. So that would be my request.
And I just have one other question before we wrap this topic up. I noticed that there are a number of items in here that are actually already over budget. And so I'm curious to know how you handle that. Do you do a budget amendment when you have already spent more than you have budgeted?
We would do that at mid-year.
At mid-year. Okay, thanks.
I just want to verify that on the expense side, are those numbers accurate, or are they subject to some change from entries that haven't been made yet?
They would be subject to change based on journal entries. The journal entries for the insurance, the risk management insurance allocations haven't been taken out. So if you see a line for general liability insurance, it probably says zero. And a third of that number that's in for the budget should be taken out. Those are that, the rolling stock where our mechanic has purchased supplies and he's told us all that he purchased these supplies and charged it to this department for their vehicles. Those aren't in there. Those are the two that come to mind very quickly. The cost allocation transfers have not been made on the expenditure side, and those would more be revenues, actually. I'm sorry. That's what hasn't been done. No transfers have been done.
Because going through this, I saw a number of line items where, you know, we're looking at, you know, we're at 50%+ of the budget. And another thing I noted, there's several items where the expenditures from the previous year greatly exceeded the amount that was budgeted. And the amounts are actually, some of those are actually in negative balance now, which I didn't really understand that either.
Do you have one in particular that you can point out?
Yeah, I do. One thing I noticed was in general fund expenditures, I was going to ask about this 6101 legal services.
Yes.
Budget, adopted budget, $15,003. Expenditure, year-to-date transactions are at $16,632.56, which puts it in negative balance. And then prior year-to-date total, $333,168.84. So I didn't understand, based on the prior year total, why only $15,000 was budgeted for that. And it might be helpful to know what that is. What is it for?
It's on page.
It's on page 4. It's item 6101. I assume that's the account number, 6101?
Mm-hmm. It is, but that's not the general fund.
I'm sorry, did I stray off of the general fund?
The general fund appears to me to be on page 2 of a...
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, I must be looking at the wrong...
It is page 4 or 6, I believe, yeah, right down the middle.
Yeah, I thought it was general fund expense.
Right, it is.
I was looking at the wrong one, sorry about that.
That's okay.
6101 legal... I don't know. I'll have to go back and see what happened, because I pulled this as of September 30. It should have given me a full budget on that. I don't know. Yes, I do.
Oh,
I'm sorry. legal services, that's the city attorney. That's not the city attorney. The city attorney is now under contractual services. And so it's part of 6106, which is $1,062,193. This legal services, I'm a guess. I believe it's from the police department. And that would be for an employee case that we're dealing with.
And another example on several of the on the categories of miscellaneous supplies, I noticed several of them are way over budget. One example is under the
miscellaneous operating supplies, $5,199, which is already over budget.
Mm-hmm.
One that I noticed was for Morro Bay, Cayuga Sanitary District Wastewater Fund. There was supplies that were at something like 392% of the budgeted amount. It's $5,199 on page 9 of 11. Last year they spent $59,737.66. On that category, miscellaneous operating supplies, they only budgeted $1,500, and now they spent $5,884.53, which puts them $4,384.53 in the hole. I didn't really understand why such a small budget based on the previous year's spending.
I would agree with you on that, and I don't know. I would have to look back and see the transactions that occurred, and also look back at the budget worksheets and make sure that everything was put in correctly.
And then something else I noticed too was overtime pay seemed to be at 59%. That was general fund overtime pay, which is 4310. It's the third item down from expense. It's at 59%. And there was another, I noticed another one in a different, pardon me?
Yeah, the standby.
I'm sorry, standby pay. Mm-hmm. Well, standby pay, it's kind of hard for me. Standby pay is at 21%.
And overtime is at 57.
Overtime is at 57.
30,
and then 59.
The third one down from the...
Yeah, the part-time pay is the third one down on the expenditure 30. List, and it's at 30% spent. The one right above it is overtime pay at 57%. Okay. And again, without having the department detail, I can't tell you which department overspent.
Right.
So it could have been something that police had to spend more time on overtime because they didn't have a commander, or they had a sergeant working out of class as a commander. That could be part of it.
Well, and regular pay is below the 25%, so my guess is that they're using other personnel to fulfill some of those functions where you don't have full-time people.
And it could also be fire, because they went out on mutual aid.
Oh.
So okay. What we'll do at mid-year is we'll get, if it's fire, they went out on mutual aid, we'll get an adjustment for the mutual aid reimbursements we had, then we'll make an adjustment to their overtime pay.
So at the mid-year review, that's when you would make these adjustments to the actual budget where you're already over budget?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, thank you all. I'm sorry, let the record reflect, Betty Forsyth did come in, so thank you. We have everybody in attendance.
Go ahead. Quite a while ago. On the... there's some pages, accumulated transaction listing. They kind of feel like contract people. What is that supposed to do, supposed to be, and how does that relate to the line item that you just referenced, contractual? Which also, what is this set of documents?
So these are all of the contracts that the city has been engaged in. Every contract expenditure that we have for the city is listed on this accumulated transaction report, which I mentioned in my staff report. We provide that every quarter so that you know the contractors that the city is employing. This isn't going to necessarily tie to all of the contract expenditures in the report because I don't give you every one of the departments or every one of the funds. I leave out COPS, I leave out several funds that do have contract expenditures, capital projects funds. None of those are included in here.
Okay, I like the concept, so I think that's great. For example, since we're talking about legal funds, is the legal contract one of these? I don't happen to know the gentleman's name, so.
Alishire Winder is here. They're on the first page of that report. And it looks like we've spent $41,000 quarter to date with them. That, at this point in time, only includes their July invoice. So the August invoice hadn't been paid yet at the time that I ran this report. We haven't paid August or September.
So it's $41,000 for 1 month.
Yes, July.
And then there was another legal one, it looked like Burke Williams for 15.7.
Burke Williams is for a separate employee issue.
Okay.
$41,000 for 1 month legal fees.
Yes.
Okay.
I think Craig wanted to make a comment. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Craig Smollinger with the Finance Department. Thank you for having me. I think this is a really healthy back and forth on expectations and what you all want to see and what we can bring to the table as we move forward on that. I did have a question as we kind of back our way into the budget performance reports. We've kind of looked in and kind of thumbed through a little bit at the onset of this. Just from my perspective, I want to make sure we're clear and we're delivering. Like I mentioned, we're delivering what you all need to go through and make your recommendations as an advisory body to the City Council. So there were some requests to go in and kind of make some notes on some areas that seemed a little bit outside of the 25% mark or the first quarter mark on there. So if we're providing you that data or that was received in the past, then what would be the committee's role in forming some advice or recommendations to the city council on that data, just to get me a little more up to speed on how that process works?
Well, I'm not sure that that's exactly what we were getting. I think we have a ways to go. What we got previously was the data by department, and then we also got the slide presentation, the PowerPoint presentation that each department had prepared where they talked about the exceptions and might explain why we're not at the 25% mark. And so that's what we got. It would be better to actually have a staff report that actually summarized that data for the quarter by department, and at least I believe that would help. That would.
Craig, I'm not really sure I understand the question. I think you're asking if you can get the data the way we, you know, a little bit more above this data dump into something a little more organized, what would our role be as recommendations going back to city council?
Exactly.
Okay.
Sorry to cut you off. It sounds like the formatting to receive the actual data might just been a little different with the city manager's request to move away from kind of that staff level breakdown from each department.
And to be quite candid, we've been getting these, if you will, maybe data dumps in hundreds of pages. And so we would go through them and then ask some of the questions that you see being asked here. And but we didn't really, I don't think we've ever made any specific recommendations back to council because we don't understand well enough the data, number one, and the way it's categorized. And number two, once we are ready to make some recommendations to me, that needs to happen before the budget is put in place. If we see that we're consistently overrunning, or maybe just from a citizen's perspective, why are you always spending 10% of the general fund on blah, 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 then those kind of recommendations we would make. But we haven't even gotten to that point yet, I don't think.
Right. I think the problem is in the information that we're getting, it would be very difficult to make a recommendation based on the data that we have.
Yeah, Craig, at least from my perspective, I don't think we ought to be putting more of a burden on how you put reports together. I was literally saying I'd like to see the report that you're probably giving to the city manager, which is not, which you've indicated is not this. You did this because we had a meeting and you wanted to comply with having something for a meeting is what I'm understanding. So I'd like to see what you're giving to the city manager, which I would presume would be some summary level data with some identification of key areas and how we're doing and where he needs to focus on, where we might be going over budget, where we're going under budget. Whether or not you readjust the budget, I'm not sure that I'm totally in that camp. I'd just soon let it play out and then have a different budget for next year personally. But however you do it, so I'd like to see what you give the city manager and what you give the council. My suspicion is that would be fine with me to see it that way.
I thought a lot of it when we were first starting was inconsistent, and we try to get it together and go through these different meetings with the business manager and to understand the budget, that some things we come different times, the money and all of this stuff. But now it seems that since we're trying to do more advice on projections and giving a little bit more recommendations, it's gotten more confusing. And so I'd like to have a little bit more clarity on that.
And one more point. This committee evolved from the Measure Q, which is looking at $1 million, and we did give recommendations, you know, over the years after we did the year end as required by the ballot measure. And some of our recommendations were spend more on streets. When the school resource officer went from 25% contribution to 70%, we recommended that be renegotiated. So because we had a good handle on where those expenditures were, and we're talking $1 million, now we've expanded the role of this committee, and it's not just the $12 or $13 million general fund, but it's all the enterprise funds. And I think we're a little overwhelmed with all the data and that. So
I would also like to add that we did not have the opportunity, which we had intended in our work plan, of looking at the 2016-17 budget before it was presented to City Council. And that would have been the ideal time for us to look at that proposed budget and make recommendations. But since it was a timing issue and we didn't do it, looking at the quarterly financial reports is more, are you on track, and what are the exceptions, and that's something that I'm assuming the city manager would probably also give to the council. So I think our role is less on that, and it's more on reviewing the budget, which we didn't have a chance to do.
And I just want to say, from my perspective, it's really not very useful for us as individual members to have to parse through these reports and try to make sense of them without having some kind of contextual analysis from staff to help us understand them. So we really need to have something that an analysis to be able to give us an overview of what's really going on here, so that we understand it better as individual members, rather than trying to figure it out on our own, which is basically what we're being left to do here, in my opinion.
Understood. Thank you all.
So I think that concludes the discussion on that agenda item. And where that takes us, is it the, I believe it is the citizen-friendly budget documents, the next item?
Well, just since this is give and take, and it was really, I think it was a good discussion. Is there any more? Are we together? I totally agree with what Dave just said and what others have said. So are there any more? Because we're not asking to do anything, right? Some prescribed.
No, I think we've just concluded.
It's the general, like Dave's comment, probably best summarized, at least where I'm coming from, if that helps you. That's where I was going from.
Yes, very much. Thank you.
Something I'd like to mention, too, as far as the contracts, we are going to be visiting the contracts as a committee again at some point in more detail, because I think that's important that we do that, especially considering some of the questions that have come up in the community, especially about the city attorney contract and so on. So yeah, I definitely would want to do that.
No, that's a good point. In fact, that came up months ago, and we were just kind of trying to prioritize and do the Measure Q and the budget documents. And you're right about the legal services that came up at the Citizens Finance Workshop. So those are some things on our to-do list that we want to work through. We also wanted to wait till we had a few more, little more time, like on the legal expenditures, so we can ensure we are comparing apples to apples, you know, before we embark on this research project of how much have we spent on legal in the last 3 years. But it's a fair question. So, okay, so I'm sorry, Bart, I didn't mean to exclude you. I think we've discussed this. So let's move on to B2, progress update, public-friendly budget. And we've been working on this for some time. And we had a subcommittee, Dave Marlis and myself, trying to come up with some ideas. We've looked at a lot of other cities out there. So the first question is, I'll open up, is there any public comment? This is item B2, okay, thank you. Basically, we've included in this agenda where we're at, or what we have right now. And we would like maybe staff to review that and comment on that. We think we're ready to publish something like that. I will say we're still challenged with the inter-fund transfers in and out, and we debated among ourselves. My thought was maybe we just publish the general fund initially in the Measure Q and get that out there, but we know there's interest in the enterprise funds. So I'll open it up for comments on our team and then maybe ask staff what you think we should do and how we can move forward on this. Any comments?
I'd like to get staff's input on what we've done so far, especially Craig. He's looking at this probably for not necessarily the first time, but very recently. So I'd like to get some input from him on what he thinks.
Let me jump in there before Craig gets into this. One of the things that I was concerned about on how the money was spent was the unbudgeted. And it says unbudgeted $1,221,164. That number, and I'm sure I've looked at it a billion times, but what is that number that's unbudgeted? And I didn't understand that on the first page of the second graph. It's orange, and it's talking about how the money is spent.
The 3% number.
And I didn't know what that was, because in general, everything's got some kind of a budget. It's either personnel expenses, it's supplies, it's something. I didn't know what that was. Other than that, I like the breakdown. I like the way things have been listed. That was the only one that I was concerned about, that would cause some angst with the public, because they might see something that's, you know, oh my gosh, what are they doing with that? And I wasn't sure if maybe there were multiple places that got picked from. And so they were kind of combined. And it's not that it's not a budgeted amount, but that it's just some kind of miscellaneous that we maybe need to give it a better title to. But I was concerned, that was the only one I was concerned about. Other than that, everything looked very, very good.
Well, I think our challenge was to make the numbers add up. And the totals, the total revenues and the total expenses. And in doing that, we had a difference. And so in order to explain it, we said unbudgeted. And that's how it came about. And again, it came from the data from the budget. And our challenge, and I think we still have this challenge, is dealing with the interfund transfers. And I would like to see the budget without the transfers, because that double counts revenue when you start to look at. You're counting it in both places. You're counting it as revenue in, and you're counting it when it comes in. And so it double counts. And I know Mr. Alexander, who has been very interested in this process, he sat down, and I was present, and we came down to how much money actually comes into the city. And that's the number we'd like to work with. But when you go to the budget, you can't find that number without eliminating other things. And it's very confusing to the public to try to understand those interfund transfers. So it would be very helpful to actually produce a budget that shows all of the money that's coming into the city. And it was trying to balance those two things where we ended up with not being able to come up to the same numbers. And so that's how that happened, if that is an explanation. And Mr. Alexander actually did call me today and say that he would like to see, since there is still some money in that pie chart, the all city funds, that is double counted. And so he would actually change the title to say, this is a summary of the budget. These are revenues, these are expenditures, because and put in the footnote where you can find it in the actual published budget, because otherwise it's too confusing. And we've been struggling with this, truly.
So. Yeah, I think one of the issues that came up in our not the workshop, but actually the July meeting, when we were all sitting around a table and we didn't have a quorum, and one of the things we talked about was we have gas tax that comes in, and we have traffic safety funds that come in. And so that's revenue into the city and special revenue, so it's showing as revenue, but then it's also showing as a transfer in and transfer out, and that's where you get into your duplication. So you have to find a point where you start removing those to pick and choose which ones are really revenues that are going into the general fund, and then not counting them in the total budget when you're presenting your charts. So yeah, there was quite a bit of that. There were several things like that we had to look at, and it was a little bit of a struggle because Governmental accounting requires you to put certain things in special revenue funds because it's special money. You can't put it in the general fund. You can give it to the general fund, and the general fund can count it as a give, but it's a transfer in. So it's, we're trying to separate accounting out and look at what really is revenue and not. That's going to take, that will take some time to get all those pieces together.
My recollection is that there is a basis in the budget for that unbudgeted amount. I recall that when Homer Alexander calculated it, he was showing a surplus on one of those documents that he mm-hmm. that he created. And I believe there's another report. I'm at a disadvantage here because I don't have the budget pages in front of me. But I believe there was a report that did show a difference between revenue and budgeted expenses. And it showed a surplus. Now, it's not really a surplus, I don't believe, because it's going to be used to adjust the budget for at the end of the year. It's not a true surplus, but I do believe there is a basis for that in the budget. It's not just a matter of taking throwing a number in there and trying to get just so everything balances.
I think the point that I'm hearing is I think it would be better for all of us to not have that term be used, because it if we use something else, it's unbudgeted, raises flags for people. What are you doing? You're spending money that wasn't budgeted. I think calling it, whenever you go back, find out what it was, call it that.
Maybe surplus?
Surplus, whatever. I mean, but something other, I think.
Is it really a surplus?
We're going to have to.
Is it a surplus that can be taken from the budget and used to fix the streets, for example? It's not.
No. Not necessarily. It could be savings, because you could have revenues in excess of what your expenditures are, say, in the sewer revenue fund. And so those would be transferred down into the accumulation fund, and that's where some of those are. The general fund is the one that we primarily budget to zero, and several of the others, so, you know, the highway users tax, the traffic safety is budgeted to zero, COPS is budgeted to zero, Measure Q is budgeted to zero. But the revenue fund, the sewer revenue, water revenue, wastewater is zero, harbor, their operating funds are budgeted at zero. Their equipment replacement funds could have surpluses, and their accumulation funds could have surpluses, but their savings accounts. And I guess that's what we would have to look at, finding a good word to identify that. Maybe it's savings. Maybe it's some part of, we have to look and see if it's all savings account or something.
Capital savings.
Yeah, something like that.
Capital project savings, yeah. Or
but
some
future.
Some other way, yeah. Yeah. Because that's really what it is a savings account.
My general feeling on this project is we should put a ribbon around it. There are things to discuss moving forward, like some of these revenue discussions. I don't think all the interfund transfers represent double counting. There are a couple that do, and they were seemingly blatant that Homer pointed out. But I thought where we left it last meeting was, let's true up to the budget,
published,
the accounting system as it is, tie ribbon around it, and let's move on. Because we could beat this sucker up on infinitum. So you guys got together. I'm saying let's go for it, and let's work this next year such that we have something that comes out when the budget comes out.
Well, shortly after, yes. Mm-hmm. But I would agree with you, and I think we are close enough, because we can tie these numbers back to the budget. And in fact, Mr. Alexander suggested that we actually include a footnote that says gives the exact pages in the budget where you could find these same numbers. And that's what we were trying to do. So that's probably a very good idea. But and we can certainly call unbudgeted something else.
I would highly recommend doing that. Unbudgeted, as you guys have, you know, kind of talked about back and forth, it just raises all kinds of red flags. It could be potential contractual issues that someone might think we have floating out there somewhere, or they might just think, hey, we've got $1.2 million to spend. It's a free-for-all. Come out and spend it on something when we have these potential unfunded issues as well. So,
yeah, future capital projects or future savings, capital savings.
Capital replacement fund, whatever
something.
The case is.
Okay, so I think we're saying we're ready to publish this. Do you want to make any other edits? I mean, we've spent months on this, and we want to get something out there. We've asked the public. We had a good attendance. They're all interested. Let's get something out there, and then we'll put it on the website and go from there. And if these, that's why Susan, I was asking what they're, for instance, on the general fund, what's the real number? We've been working to 12,760. If that's not the real number, go ahead and change it. But let's just get something out there that matches whatever's in that final budget document, which the final budget document should also be published on the website. It is? Okay, perfect. So is that clear what we're asking, I think?
Yeah, if this is the final, then if you can provide me with some new title for unbudgeted, then we can go ahead and print these out, and they can be put into water bills or handouts or whatever we want to do.
One comment I'd make on that is, and actually it's a question too, are we only going to publish this on the web, or is it going to go out in print form? Because if it is going to go out in print form, it's 3 pages, unless we want to pare it back to 2 pages. It wouldn't make any sense to send out a 3-page or a 2-page report with a blank page on one side. We should put something there. Or we should pare it down to 1 page if we're going to use it.
Double-sided.
Yeah, it should be double-sided as a water bill insert. It should be double-sided. And if it's going to go out as 2 pages double-sided, then we need to fill in that 4th page with something. It doesn't make any sense just to
So my vote might be, let's get it on the website first and see what kind of comments we get. And then maybe after, because there's an expense associated with that, after the mid-year budget, we might even update it or have some comments back.
And another comment I'd make is on the 1st page, on the header, where it has the Morro Bay logo, that should be replaced with something that, basically, I copied that off the website and pasted it in there. It's not in color. It's not. So it should be done. Some kind of artwork should be put in there, the actual logo.
We have samples of the logo, so we can take that out and put it in there.
Do we know what we want to call this? Okay, so I think Marlis will get back to you on the title for the unbudgeted.
I will.
I vote for just publish it on the website. And then again, thinking about next year, we'll do that ahead of time. Otherwise, we're
never
going back around
done.
Again to either go to 4 or go
never
to 2. So I'd say let's get on. There's other issues that
I agree we should go on the website, because we've been taking too long to get this information out. And if we don't get it out where somebody can really give us some input back, then we are going to be spinning again.
And we may have some new additional members, and we might be able to get some more help, you know, after the end of the year, January. Go ahead, Craig.
And then were you going to put the reference to what page in the actual city budget, just so people can kind
of tie that off? I will send you the changes.
Okay, great.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, so I think that concludes that discussion. Thank you all. All right, so next item is B3. Any public comment? That's continued discussion on benchmarking Morro Bay's budget to similar cities. No comment, thank you. All right, Marlis has been instrumental in this project, putting all this together. She has a handout that was included. So, Marlis, would you like to discuss this a little bit?
Sure.
Thank you.
Well, as you know, I volunteered to just explore this a little bit further. And so just based on our prior discussions, I tried to just put down on paper some of the things we'd already talked about. First of all, what are we really trying to learn from this benchmarking study? So I've got four questions that are outlined here. And of course, it relates primarily to how we compare to other similar cities with respect to how we spend our money and how we're organized. And can we explain any differences? And can we learn anything from these other cities that would help us to make more efficient use of our resources or some effective strategies that we can learn? And we have talked a number of times about how do you select comparable cities. And we really, and again, they have to be full service cities. And so we came down to the variables that are outlined here. They should be similar in size. They should have similar population demographics, and by that I mean age, sex, race, ethnicity, similar income levels, tourist-reliant economy, which is important for us since that's the main source or a primary source of revenue. And then we have talked but not really decided on whether or not it should be a coastal community that has a harbor function, because that's somewhat unique to us, and not all cities have harbor functions. So what I've laid out is a research design that would really help us to try to answer those questions. And there's certain data that you can collect just by going to the city's websites and looking at their budget. But that's not going to help you to try to understand any differences or similarities. So you would actually have to contact them. And I know Management Partners, when they did their benchmarking study, they sent out a questionnaire and got back responses from a few cities, but not all of them. So that does not appear to be a very effective way to get all of the data you would need. So just assuming that you have, and if you look at page 2, these are cities that we have talked about previously. You could select from those cities, similar ones, but if you are talking about doing interviews with people, that means scheduling the interviews, it means conducting them, and when I did research like this, we always tape recorded them, had them transcribed verbatim so that we actually got accurate information on absolutely everything that was said. And of course, you might ask them to send you additional information as well. If you look at the cities, and then of course you'd have to analyze all of the data and prepare a written report, it's pretty clear that this committee is not able to undertake this study. That's not our role, I don't think, to be doing interviews and analyzing data and whatnot. So I don't think it's up to us to do it, but you can see this. If we look at the possible comparison cities, you can also see that there aren't really very good comparison cities. So many of them, well, we're distinctive in that we are relatively poor when it comes to the average or the median household income, and we're relatively older here. So that has certain implications for what you're going to find in a budget. First of all, cities that might be comparable from a population standpoint, if they have a much higher household income, and I also included the median home value because that's the basis for property tax, they're going to have a lot more revenues coming in. So you can find differences, but you might be able to explain them based on the criteria that you were using to select the cities. So it gets in kind of a complicated analysis, I might add, to really come up with firm findings that would be useful. So that's kind of where I was at. The one thing that I might add to this, and we can talk about it, there's several ways that we could go from this point. We could recommend that we include a study like this in the next year's budget, and you could hire staff contract out and find a research organization that would do that study. Or we could just leave it at this and say, well, we looked at it and we've decided we can't really move forward on this project. Or we could take it one more step, and I would be willing to do this, and actually collect some data from the cities that have published budgets. And I checked, actually, before I came today, and all of those cities, in fact, do have published budgets. So I could collect data systematically on just budget data from those cities and any others that we might add, and then present that and then decide. I mean, that wouldn't be too much effort, but I'm willing to do that. So that's a third alternative. And there may be others.
Thank you. Excellent report. Any comments? Anybody?
Yeah, I have a comment. One thing is, I have a copy of the agenda, but I don't have a copy of that on the agenda that I have.
Was it? It was passed out.
I laid it up there.
Oh, it's okay. Over here. Okay, I'm sorry. Got it. I thought it might have been attached to the agenda.
Well, it should have been, but it wasn't. It's my fault.
These were a couple of late arrival documents that I managed to get in and pass out to everybody. So just to kind of support what you're saying.
If Marlis is willing to do sort of a high level look, I mean, I don't know that we want to spend a lot of time. As you point out, there's not a lot of similar data, but if there's some high level categories, it might be worth looking at, or to look at it to realize there's really nothing there that you could draw conclusions from, which is possible.
Yes, and just to let you know, just in glancing at some of these budgets, it becomes clear that where you have a wealthier community, they have a much larger budget per capita. They have more revenues and more expenses. So they're raising more money from their property taxes, and they're actually providing more services. So that's what you can learn from some of this. But, you know, I'm willing to go down deeper into what proportion do they spend on various services and see if that tells us something that's useful.
No, I think that's a great idea if you're willing to do some, like maybe one level down. Also, the per capita expenditure, because we've looked at that before in some other cities, and that would be a nice little reference point, and that's usually a simple division.
Right,
And it goes back to getting the general fund, the budget, the expenditures, make sure we're, you know, comparing the right data. The other thing I'll mention is some of it is we may be a little confused as to what is expected of us on this, because when it was originally brought up, it was more in the area of financial indicators. And we went on the League of Cities. I think they have a tool. Susan, you gave us a couple. And when I looked at some of their handouts or information, a lot of it required formulas from CAFR reports, which you said we don't have. So it almost looked like if we really wanted to do some, quote, financial analysis, financial metrics, we would need some more data from you, you know.
We don't have a CAFR, but then again, most of the data is in the financial reports. You'd have to look at multiple years. And this year, we will have a statistical section, which is going to help quite a bit. Matter of fact, it's completed, and it's ready for the auditors to have. So there's a lot of data that's not going to be in there, more kind of the fluffy stuff that says calls for services and that, but it will identify each of your departments. So the difficulty that I see with some of the cities that we have is Pismo Beach contracts for fire. Grover and Arroyo Grande are joined into Five Cities Fire. So how are you going to pull those pieces out and then look at our fire? And of course, we have an older demographic. We need more fire services. So it is going to be a challenge.
Yeah, and see, that's the kind of thing you're going to find out. You're going to find out that people organize those services. Other cities organize those services differently. And since we don't, And we've already, the council has made a decision to not look at reorganizing those departments or considering contracting out. I'm not sure how helpful it would be. And especially given that, you know, Morro Bay is older than these cities, which means that we care more about public safety than some of these other cities do. So the fact that they spend less may simply be a function of the city that we are and what we want from our city government. So that's the kind of thing that I'm not sure where that leads you for the kind of work that you have to put in.
It may just justify how you're spending your money now and have some cause-effect relationship.
Right.
And if I can jump in, certainly when you do benchmarking, I've done it through for several jurisdictions, mm-hmm. you're never going to find that perfect benchmark. Maybe you don't have your apples to lemons. You have a certain type of a jazz apple compared to a pink lady apple. At mm-hmm. least it's kind of in the ballpark. A lot of times to get to that level, you actually have to dive into the programmatic level that you're talking about a little bit more. And then from there, I would advise to look at level of service as well. Just because you have a fire department doesn't mean it's the same fire services. Some could be basic life support, some could be advanced life support. You look at their response times, maybe their standard is 9.5 minutes, which doesn't work for a lot of people. And here we have a higher level at 7 minutes, something like that. Or streets, the exact same thing. If we spend a similar amount on streets as, say, Capitola, roughly the same. They're pretty much in line with us, roughly. Mm-hmm. But maybe their pavement condition index, which is an indicator on how their roads are overall, is 52, which is, you know, not that good. You're going to feel that in your car. And we've got it, I think it's 71.
That's 65.
Oh, no, not that high.
Apologies, maybe 65 or so.
We're trying to get to 70, but we are not there yet.
So maybe we are investing a little more in an area like streets. So when we look at that level of service, it does make sense that we spent a little bit more. So just a couple areas to look at.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm fully aware of that. That's why we talked about using outcome measures also. You have to look at every aspect of each one of these services and get as many measures as you can, a baseline, and also, you know, how much, it's not just how much they're spending. So that's why the kind of study that I think you would really learn from is one that would cost maybe $50,000 to $100,000 if you contract it out. But it's not the kind of study that this group can do.
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess that reinforces why you don't want to spend a lot of time, because you get 10 questions for your first potential variance. And we've also got with Craig and Lori, did you work for a Tascadero? So we've already got, okay, they may not be comparable, but right away you've got two different sets of eyes who are coming in who are very familiar with their budgets, and things may pop out to you as you go through this and you say, geez, why are you doing that? So I think we're getting, you know, with two sets of eyes, and I think we have more coming in or have come in. That's one advantage of getting new blood in, that you very likely are going to have certain things, even though you had probably more fire with the where you came from, Craig, that you had to worry about. But it is something that you're going to know.
This is a very good start because we haven't started any place. So I guess starting here is a good way. I think you selected the right cities, and that we can certainly get some information from their handouts. And then maybe something will pop out that we can do one thing as a committee, just, you know, because this one thing strikes us as real unique. And maybe that will help. And then we can go into contract services if we need to go any further.
So in summary, I think Marlis is still willing to do a little more.
I'm willing
research.
To look at their budgets and give us some rough data on expenditures, per capita expenditures for various services, right?
See if we can draw some general conclusions.
Yes, some general conclusions. And you can tell from just looking at their budget mm-hmm. and reading it, if they organize, for example, the fire department's different, you know that. It's in their budget. Mm-hmm. It's not right. just the numbers. There's written explanations for mm-hmm. everything. So I'm willing to do that.
Okay, thank you. And then that would help. Then maybe we make a recommendation. We either abandon it, or if somebody really wants to take it further, it's going to be a sophisticated research, and you're going to have to either do it internally or hire a consultant to do it if it's valuable.
So what I'm thinking is we'll bring this back, this agenda item back to the December meeting that we're going to select, where you'll have the Citizens Oversight Committee, and then the Citizens Oversight Committee, Finance Advisory Committee. The Finance Advisory Committee side will come up after the Citizens Oversight Committee items are discussed.
Exactly.
Then we can bring this up again, and at that point, you can make a decision whether or not this is something that the committee can do, and at that point, we'll have to have a recommendation from the committee that we can present to council and say the committee doesn't feel it can move forward with this. It's a little bit more, you know, than what the committee can do.
Okay. That's fair. Thank you. So that goes to the next item, the cancellation of the November. I didn't know that we had one. I'm not sure. Did we have one scheduled then, or because of the holiday or whatever?
We did, but it's running into difficulties with the holidays and then with Thanksgiving the very next week. So we're canceling the November meeting. Mm-hmm. What we need the committee to do tonight is to choose a date in December for the December meeting for the Citizens Oversight Committee. That has to happen in December by ordinance. So we have to get that one done.
And the primary focus of that one, the first agenda item, will be the Citizens Oversight Committee review of Measure Q expenditures, and you'll get that data to us. That was for the last fiscal year. And then the Citizens Finance, and we have one item for that, Marlis, on the benchmarking. Okay, so you had said the week of the 12th to the 16th, that's a Monday through Friday, and I believe that's the maybe the second Tuesday or third, probably the third, let's see. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Let me ask one question. The week before 12-13, I think you had said there were some interviews for the committees, the various committees. Is that scheduled or? Okay. I think I picked that up from a previous meeting, but that might have been a tentative. I think it was for all of the committees ahead, the boards ahead openings. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. All right, so the 12th to the 16th, what's a good day for everybody?
Why wouldn't we do it at the same day that we usually meet, just
Tuesday,
maybe a week early?
Yeah. That's why I was asking about the interviews. That's the only reason. Okay, so that would be Tuesday the 13th? Dave?
That's fine with me, yes.
So you want to maybe same time, same place, assuming this location is available?
I'll see if it's available. If not, I'll let you know where we're going to have it.
Okay. Be good.
And if the subcommittees want to meet in the meantime between now and that meeting, just give me a call. I'll see if I can get a room for you. Generally, we have the annex that's available, and we can usually find a location for the subcommittee to get together if there's anything that you need to get together on.
Yeah, we may want to. We'll see how this all goes, but yeah, we'll play that by ear. Okay. All right. Any closing comments? All right. Thank you. Wait, go ahead.
Can you make closing comments?
No, I think we just discussed future. I'm sorry, I didn't refer to it, B5. We were just discussing the future agenda items.
I don't know how we keep track of these, but I had indicated last month that I'd like to, at some point,
known the IT,
to understand the IT systems a little bit better. Some feedback from the council meeting with our recommendation, you probably all have heard by now, but to officially say it, we had a recommendation to use the funds from the sale of the Cloisters property or whatever it's called for the fire station to pay down the loan. It was brought up that potentially, it was asked, did we think about other things? And what I recall is we said, okay, if there is a significant event, then we ought to reconsider that, but it should not be used on what I will say is sort of a frivolous, well, how about a skate park? Nothing against skate parks, love them, but I'm not sure that the money should be spent for that. And that's what triggered this. And what came up, which leads to the second item, is the CalPERS discussion. I'm very unclear as far as where we are relative to the CalPERS underfunding and potentially the way the percentage is used to calculate this, which is consistent with the way the state's doing it, but we maybe disagree. Because the main pushback from using the money to draw, pay it off the loan, or draw down the loan, was potentially we would need that if it actually comes to pass, which was another big issue. But it was due to CalPERS. And I'm not sure that this CalPERS potential underfunding was in the $3 million gap. It's not clear. It may be there. But I guess I'd like further discussion on exactly where this CalPERS discussion is. Because Mr. Heading brought it up. And I sensed, by the way he was doing it, it's a pretty significant issue. And it's not, again, it's not clear to me where that is on the budget discussion and potential gap. So this is not now, but as an item later. But I think they agreed with us personally as far as, yeah, there could be a more significant use. And I don't think we would disagree with that if there is something substantial that's necessary. And then they also pointed out that what I heard is the probability of this actually happening may not be real big. Don't know.
But again, remember, our discussion was on the proceeds, whether they came through, you know, regardless of how the cash flow came through, that the net proceeds minus selling expenses and any other expenses directly associated with the sale of the property should logically go back to pay down the fire debt. And Craig, I want to thank you for writing, you know, viewing that meeting and writing the recommendation and the also the indication that we'd save $673,000 in interest expenses on that pay down.
Yeah, I'm always happy to lend a hand where I can with that, and mm-hmm. and just caveat. That was a best mm-hmm. case scenario if we got the money a week ago. So obviously that number will dwindle if and when we get the remainder of those sales proceeds. Excuse me. So.
Okay, and on that's something we had that discussion on the unfunded with a audit report. And I think we'll be doing that again in the future after the next audit. I think that's a common problem for all cities. I'd be a little concerned about clouding the issue with this particular one agenda item and tying it. Literally, you could tie every expenditure back to unfunded, you know, pension liability. And
well, other unfunded issues are addressed. Hmm. So I'm not, I mean, what wasn't clear to me as to why this Councilman Heading was specifically talking about that issue. I don't know. He made a big deal out of it.
I watched it.
It seemed like, you know, he's not a frivolous guy. So I have a feeling it was something fairly significant as to why he brought that up. And I guess I am interested to know why he very specifically said that issue may cause us to rethink this, and also relative to the interest payment, you know, is the interest aspect on that a higher interest than on this loan? You know,
Susan, can you answer that? Has something changed on the unfunded pension liability since our last review that would make that a significant?
We pay our pension obligation with every payroll. So what CalPERS has issued to us are actuarials that are based on information that's 2 years old. They look at the, you know, they do the valuation on our plan, they look at the age of the people, the number of people in the population, and they make the determination of how much we should pay to get our plan up to a certain funding level. Initially, we had side funds we were paying off. And so our fire and police still have side funds. Their side funds are in the $300,000 and $400,000 a year range. Those are both going to be paid off in, I believe, 2019 and 2020 is when they're scheduled to be paid off. The miscellaneous group has no side fund. What they've got is an unfunded liability for actuarial changes. They've got unfunded liability for the losses in investments. They've got an unfunded liability because CalPERS woke up one day and realized that people were living longer. So we have very large unfunded liabilities in the miscellaneous group that are closer to about $600,000 a year. Those are going to be going up every year. Granted, and of course, as some of the tier one people retire, like me, when they come to 2016 and they do their analysis, they're going to say, oh, wow, a lot of people left. Now we're going to have to get a larger pool of money from you. And it'll be distributed amongst all of the miscellaneous people. Depending upon what CalPERS decides to do and how they review this every 2 years, they may change their actuarial assumptions and look at things a little bit differently. As the fund interest performance is better, as it improves, that will lower the obligation for everyone on these other little special, you know, things that are going on. It's all going to be based on the actuarials and how CalPERS does them. There's a lot of argument on how CalPERS is doing their calculations because, of course, they were saying they were getting 7.75% return on investment. They dropped it down to 7.5, and that created one of our initial pop-ups that we had to pay. Now they're looking at, you know, well, people are living longer. We have to look at this. They just recently did a smoothing for ups and downs and variables in their investments. I'd love to be able to tell you I have a crystal ball and I can say what CalPERS is going to do next. I don't know. All I know is that as we go along, we budget for what CalPERS tells us that year we're going to have to pay. So we do pay it out of ongoing revenues, are paying for those liabilities that CalPERS is asking us to pay.
Are those liabilities like a certain month? Do they come to you like December or April or something like that?
We get a monthly bill. Well, each pay period we pay for the existing employees at the normal rate of what their pension costs. Then each month we get 1/12 of this, $600,000 that I mentioned was miscellaneous employees. So it's divided out by month. One payroll shows this normal amount that we pay, and then the next one has a larger, you know, dollars that we pay towards the unfunded liabilities. But we do pay them with ongoing revenues. So it is a function of payroll. It's nothing that we're setting aside and writing a check, you know, twice a year or anything like that.
Okay, thanks. Good explanation. We have our challenges. All right, thank you all, and we'll close the meeting and adjourn till the next meeting in December. Thank you. Bye-bye. December 13th, 3:30.